Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. Ethan is a new documentary film that, over a decade, follows an Amherst family and their son with autism. The film offers a glimpse into the day-to-day joys and the struggles that come with raising a child with a disability. It's also a portrait of a very creative, lively, and fun-loving young man with his own vision for his future. Here's Ethan in the film, at 21 years old, laying out his goals for the year.
My vision statement by Ethan Floque. After I graduate from high school, I plan to continue to go to Brookhills Music Academy and work at Prospect Meadows Farm. I also plan on living at home with my family as long as I can. I also have a girlfriend I'd like to add also.
And joining me from NEPR in Springfield is Ethan's mother, Cammy McGovern. She's an author and one of the founders of Whole Children and Milestones. It's a resource center for children and young adults with disabilities in Hadley, Mass. Cammy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Also with us is the filmmaker behind Ethan, Josephine Sittenfeld. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So, Cammy, we heard at the top there Ethan laying out his vision for the future, but I'm wondering if you could tell us more about Ethan. What is he like?
Ethan is actually a very happy-go-lucky, pleased with himself, 22-year-old with autism and intellectual disability. And there's a lot of things he loves to do. And it's one of the nice parts about the movie is that they capture what so many autistic kids have, which is just passions for what they love. And for many parents early on, the grief you experience when your child has been diagnosed is mitigated by watching your child, following your child, those passions. And they will take you to train stations and radio museums and the strangest places on earth. So it is one of the paths to a full life, I think, embracing all those passions. And Ethan's our music and farm equipment, collecting business cards. And actually, I would say he's a very social fellow, even though socializing is hard for him. So he loves family, neighbors, friends, and community.
And the film really does capture that joy that Ethan has. And just for folks listening who aren't familiar with autism, could you just explain how it affects him?
It's a spectrum disorder, as many people know, so it's capable of being very high-functioning, as they say, and you're very verbal and very, very capable in certain areas. The defining link is difficulty in processing, in social engagement often, and processing communication often. And all of those things are a challenge for Ethan. And Ethan is somewhere in the middle towards the less verbal side.
And Joe, you capture that in the film, and you filmed this family when Ethan was a child back in 2007, and then you returned when he was an adult a decade later. And I'm wondering what compelled you to tell Ethan's story.
So I had worked at a special needs school outside of Washington, D.C., right out of college, and I worked with kids on the autism spectrum. And I sat in on IEP meetings, and I was super aware of just the intensity of the parents' experience, sort of just going through a lot and lots of joys and lots of struggles at home with their kids. So a few years later, I decided to do a photo project about children on the autism spectrum and their families. And I reached out to Cammy, who's a friend of my sister's. And I said, you know, can I come out? Can I take pictures of Ethan? And Cammy said, sure, come on out. And I just sort of fell in love with him and with their family right away. And I took photos and I came back. And one of my friends, I was saying, oh, my God, he's so funny and he sings and he's like he had these funny nicknames. And my friend Maureen was looking at the photos and she said, you know, these are nice images, but they certainly don't capture the stories that you're telling about Ethan's. And she said, you should pick up a video camera. And so I did. And here we are, you know, 12 years later.
So to that point in the film, we see Ethan as a child and his behavior and his interests, you know, they didn't strike me as radically different from his other two brothers, Henry and Charlie. But then when you return 10 years later, that difference does kind of come into a clearer focus. And Cammy, we hear from your other two sons on how they view their role in Ethan's life moving forward in that that future that, that Joe was just talking about.
Someday, me and my brother Charlie are going to have to take care of him a little bit more and keep him under control. I don't think he's going to change that much from here on out.
I think that's Charlie's.
My parents are still really, really important in his life because he still needs to learn how to, you know, cut steak and, you know, it's like, you know, cook food that isn't nachos and cook food that isn't, you know, kind of simple. He can brush his own teeth. He's not great at that, but he can.
A moment there for...
Oh, we have to pause for laughter.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a moment there from the new documentary, Ethan. And we're joined by Ethan's mother, Cammy McGovern, and filmmaker Josephine Sittenfeld. Cammy, you folks were laughing there at that clip, but I'd imagine that this is the type of conversation and conversations that families are having. And I'm just wondering, have you as a family talked with Henry and Charlie about their role in Ethan's future?
Oh, it's an amazing it's an amazing question, and it's actually very touching. It tears me up a little bit to hear them talk about it. I think one thing I've always said in my mind is that in some ways helping a special needs sibling has more benefits than difficulties because you are coming of age and seeing how hard certain things are, and it builds empathy and it builds confidence. And then there's this other side at the other end that we have not talked a great deal about what would be their future responsibility, except to say it's not going to be your responsibility. But there it is anyway. They're thinking about it, and this is going to be an ongoing conversation for every family with an autistic member, is what does the future look like, and who's going to shape, because they will be part of his future. They will be part of – it will fall to them.
Yeah, and there's that anxiety is you can feel it in portions of the film about the future. And I have another clip here of your husband, Mike, as he reflects on this.
I must admit, I sometimes think what he's going to do when we're gone, you know, when he's 59, what's that going to be about?
And so, Cammy, now that Ethan's an adult, do you still share some of those same concerns?
Oh, absolutely. That this is what this generation is facing, and what every family and what every parent is facing, is that there are no clear answers on this. And in some ways, Ethan's generation is the luckiest of historically, because starting in 1990, but it wasn't until 1990 that there was mainstream inclusive education guaranteed for all people with developmental with all disabilities. And yet it's very unclear what's going to become of them, because we're still at the beginning of figuring out what jobs can they get. At this point, the 16 to 21-year-olds, there's almost a million coming of age in this country over the next 5 years. And right now, the statistics have been that only 15% will find jobs. They'll be better prepared for a future that's going to be very hard for them to attain. So what does a happy life look like? It's not going to be jobs for a lot of them. And so independent living and living without your parents or without your siblings helping you is the great challenge for this, for families coming up. And hopefully we'll meet that challenge. Like Whole Children was part of figuring out how to set up what didn't already exist. And we need to keep doing things like that.
And of course, you mentioned Whole Children Milestone Center. That's the center that you work with in Hadley, Massachusetts, which provides services for children with disabilities. And I'm wondering, so I'm glad you brought this up, because resources is a big issue for families, you know, writ large. And I'm just wondering what you say to families or parents who might have other financial challenges and are also trying to meet the needs of a child with disabilities.
I think in Massachusetts, the good news is that we guarantee day programming, that the education, by and large, is very good here. And also, what's very unusual about Massachusetts is the adult services, if you qualify for DDS or Department of Developmental Services, As an adult turning 22, you will get some type of day services or day support. And that is not true for the vast majority of this country, that people get to age 22, they age out of their federally funded school programming, and the school bus doesn't show up and they have nowhere to go and they're on a wait list for many places for between 7 to 10 years. And Massachusetts, you can still have somewhere to go, which is crucial, essential. What we don't have too many options on is any kind of independent living. Right now, it seems to be that the approach is everybody can just be okay living with their parents in order to just keep that going down the line. But it means we're kicking that can down the line 30 or 40 years. It's funny that Mike picked the age 59, because that's about when everything falls apart for these people if we haven't set up something before that.
Yeah. So Joe, I want to turn to you here. The film is very sort of slice of life. It feels like you're watching maybe some family home videos at certain points. It's very intimate. There are routine moments. And I'm curious, from your perspective as a filmmaker, what the story you were trying to tell.
Actually, when I started this film, there was a film about a boy who's dad takes him to a shaman in Mongolia and he sort of heals him and he leaves his autism behind. That, I mean, it's an amazing film, but you know, Ethan had interest in music and in farm machinery when he was 11, and he still has those same interests. But again, he is fundamentally very much the same person with the same sense of humor and the same interesting ways of talking. And for me, the coming of age story, like I think anyone going through adolescence, it's fascinating and crazy the way we all change. And so I was interested in telling that story.
I think that's what she's ended up with is here's what he looked like as a 9-year-old, mm-hmm. and here's how it turned out. And what I like about that is he's not too different. There were no magical transformations or great acquiring of surprise new abilities. There was a just maturing into who he had always been all along. And the stories that often get told are the kids that transformed miraculously. And those are so rare that it's kind of reassuring to see a reasonably happy story that isn't that.
Yeah, and I love this idea that Ethan is very much Ethan, and you see that throughout the film, even opening and him showing his collection of stickers on his door, and we wanted to speak with Ethan today. Actually, we wanted to join us, wanted him to join us, but he's busy at his day programs, and so Cammy, I'm curious. Has he seen the film, and what's his reaction been to it all?
He loves it all. Maybe I should have brought him because he loves being the center of attention.
Who doesn't?
And loves. He'll be who doesn't? And some love it more than others. But he will be at the screening and answering questions. And so he has no self-consciousness. And that's one of the great gifts of so many kids with disabilities is they leap for the spotlight and the center stage. And I'm here and I'm different and I'm fabulous.
So I remember last year I showed a rough cut at a Whole Children event. And Ethan said, you know, I'm really excited, but I just want to talk about, are we going to have merch? Like he wanted to have kind of like the band
t-shirts
and stickers and postcards. And so, and I was like, okay, he's so on board. We don't have as much merch as we might.
It does fit in. I feel like that makes sense because I have another cut here from the film and he loves business cards. So that fits in with the merch category, right? And in this clip, he actually is showing off his own business card for his lawn mowing business.
What does it say on it?
Ethan's Lawn Service, Ethan's Okay, lawn stylist. Inspective.
No, innovative.
Innovative. Prompt and innovative.
No, wait, sorry. Okay, so it says inexpensive.
Inexpensive, prompt, and innovative.
But isn't that a nice car?
Yeah.
It really is a nice card, and he you could see that he loves it so much.
And his mom loves it
and
so much.
His mom does.
That was his big Christmas present, was a box of 1,000 of those.
So, Cammy, at the top we heard about Ethan's goals list from 2017, and He's 22 now, so what are some of Ethan's goals for this year?
One thing is, so at the farm, he had never driven a zero-turn lawnmower.
And those are hard.
Those are hard. I couldn't do a zero-turn lawnmower. And so I haven't actually seen it, but his crew captain said, you know, he can do this better than I can now. He drives it right up on the truck and stops on a dime.
So is that the message then that, you know, in telling your family story this way that you're trying to impart?
Oh, I would say they will continue to surprise you. And Ethan has continued to surprise us. I also want it to be clear that none of this was easy and there were we focused a lot on the positives. It was a long journey, and especially in the throes of teenagehood when it was perhaps just find that Joe was visiting us less because there were some dark patches of Ethan failing at one job after another and saying he wanted to do something and then showing up at work and announcing he'd quit, which he was allowed to do, and not being a good hard worker, not being pleasant to be around, and not being positive and affable. So I think that's an important piece of the story, too. And you'll see him be very uncharming in the movie. But believe me, there were years of that.
Yeah. Well, I think any teenager, any parent with teenagers can relate to that, right? It's a hopeful message. And so thank you for bringing it to us.
Oh, thank you.
That's Cami McGovern. She's an author and co-founder of Whole Children and Milestones, a resource center for children and young adults with disabilities in Hadley, Massachusetts. Cami, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you so much.
And Josephine Sittenfeld, a filmmaker and photographer. Her short film, Ethan, about Cami's family and her son with autism, will be screening at the Real Abilities Film Festival next week. There's more information about it on our website, radioboston.org. Josephine, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Let's go out on Ethan's own rendition of Old Crow Medicine Show's song Wagon Wheel, which is featured in the film. That's Radio Boston for today. We're a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Zoe Mitchell, Paris Alston, Chris Siderick, Eve Zukoff, and Walt Wuthman. Tim Skoll is our technical director, and we had engineering today by Matt Lissette. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Jamie Bologna. Thanks for listening. And please join us again tomorrow for another edition of Radio Boston.